Welcome to Allison's Wonderland. I'm your host, Allison Packard. Join us as we journey through the looking glass and down the rabbit hole into the wild and wonderful world of animation and video games. Hey, do a girl a favor and please subscribe to this podcast and go on iTunes and leave us a good review. If you like the show, please help spread the word. It really helps us to get heard by more people. Thanks so much. Hey everyone, welcome back to part two of my interview with dialect coach and speech coach and author of Permission to Speak, Samara Bay. Let's dive right back into part two. Now, what would you say to somebody that would say, I can't learn how to give a speech or change the way I sound from a book? What would you say to somebody that thought that?
Let's see, what would I say?
I would say, do you want to?
And what if they said, yes?
Then yes, you can. Then yes, you can. I mean, you know, the book has quite a lot of exercises. I'm quite a practical person. But, you know, I think the less sort of hostile version of that, that's really the real question is, what does it take to change your relationship to your voice and to public speaking? And I think some of it really is in our mind and some of it is practice. Mm. And in a way, neither of those require anything more than the book, you know? They just require real desire. I mean, that's why I said, do they want to? Mm-hmm. Because I had this wild conversation with a rabbi on Instagram Live a few weeks ago. And he said, I don't know if those of you listening are like up on your Bible. It's certainly not something I would normally bring into a conversation, but this was such a moment. This was such a moment. So early on in the first chunk of the Bible, the Jewish portion, there's a story of Moses. And he's just this dude. He has a speech impediment, in fact. He's not a big talker. And God comes down to him in the form of a burning bush and says, you have to speak on behalf of all of your people. And here's what you need to say. Go to the rulers, say this thing. And he's like, no offense, but no. And so this rabbi's like, Samara, if you were God in this scenario, if you were the burning bush, how would you have coached Moses? Such a that's the best hilarious question. I was laughing so hard that a rabbi godified me. But I loved my answer because it's really the truth. It's really the truth of how coaching works. And the answer, what ultimately happens in the story, I think, is that his brother goes on his behalf and like speaks for him. So the question was like, you know, would I have encouraged that or whatever? And I said, the real question inside of the question is, what does Moses want? Is he saying no to speaking in public because he truly hates it? He has no desire, nothing about it interests him. Or is it because he's afraid? Because the speech impediment has left him with stories about himself and his worth. Because if it's a second one, I can coach the heck out of that. If it's the first one, honor your impulse. Don't do it. Send an emissary, you know?
Yeah.
So if someone's really saying, I can't learn from your book, I think they're really saying, I don't want to speak publicly. And you know what? That, no shame. That's awesome. But I did write the book for people who secretly, even if they hate it or are afraid of it, are drawn to speaking in public and or feel the obligation to.
And I mean, I think now more than ever, there's so many more platforms to speak in public. You mentioned IG Live.
I mean,
social
doing
media.
A 1 minute reel on Instagram is not what, like, you know, our grandfathers would have called public speaking, but it is. And it's redefining the public. I mean, we all know we were just in the pandemic. The pandemic is a thing that happened. And as a result, we were all the virtual versions of ourselves with our houses in the background or our apartments. And the question of what version of us shows up in this private public hybrid space.
Yeah.
Is fascinating. And then that's also now happening on Instagram. And even if you take away this sort of, you know, early days pandemic, you know, confusion of it all, we are left with this opportunity to show up as some public version of ourselves that nonetheless is like standing in our own living room. And what that is an opportunity that our grandfathers didn't have.
Yeah. And a more available opportunity. You know, we don't have to join Toastmasters and start giving speeches and then work our way up.
It's super accessible, which is, you know, both the opportunity and the horror of it because, you know, there's sort of no excuse not to except for your own drama.
Mm-hmm. I know we were actually, before the interview started, chatting a little bit about social media and, you know, in some ways, taking breaks can be really great and really freeing. And the whole idea of creating a bunch of content for the internet can be exhausting. But, you know, especially we're both in it already. You've got, you're on a junket for your book. I mean, you're probably showing up every day. But then
how does it, you know, how does it work to then step away? You know, in what way are we able to step away when there's this constant desire, maybe some of it internal, but maybe some coming from the external, like time to make the content, you know, like the grind of it all. I don't know if you're an expert on that.
No, I'm not, but I am. I'm certainly experiencing it. I think, you know, the answer's in your question, right? That we have to figure out some sort of a balance, and that it's hard, and that we keep doing it. We keep searching for a balance that feels good to us. So I have to say, being on social media in terms of the interactions. I've never in my life been in the position that I'm in right now of having put out something that's so close to my heart. And I wrote in such isolation during the pandemic. And then to have the door swung open and have all these readers who I don't know writing me and saying like heartburstingly lovely things. Aww. This is like the promise of the premise for me of the internet. Like, oh, people can find me and then, you know, tell me that I mattered to them and that the thing that I was trying to do worked. So I like that part. Obviously, creating content on the one hand is just like continuing the conversation with, you know, with my readers, with my community. But on the other hand, it is time and it's effort and it's creative juju. Yes. Like there's an actual, like, I have to think through what I would want to put out there that doesn't feel like noise and that is easy enough to do. Like difficult enough that it's fresh, easy enough that it's doable.
Yes.
And that's, I'm in all the time. And now I'm in this phase where I'm giving a lot of talks, you know, as we are recording this, I'm about to go off to South by Southwest. And I was just at this big San Diego women's conference yesterday. And I really, it's like, now the creative juju is towards those things. And I'm like, do I have to do social media this week? And no one is saying yes.
Yeah.
Because the other part of it is, you know, Tricia Hersey's Rest is Resistance is a great reminder that grind culture is a problem.
Yeah.
And we know this, but the reminder in that book is that rest is a revolution. And rest doesn't just mean sleep. It also means being unproductive on purpose and feeling good about that, not guilty about that. And that is a practice that I'm very into as well and really is a practice. I mean, you know, it's hard. It's hard to notice the ways that grind culture, as she puts it, has, you know, put all these stories in our head about the connection between our productivity and our worth.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Well, you are somebody that I feel really inspired me in the way that you came to, before the book was even written, you started showing up in a way as a published author. Mm. So I felt there's been a real consistency with what you've been putting out for years now, since you got the book deal, you know, to what started out, you've been building your audience, and I'm sure to be built so much more over the next few years as you continue your talks and the book continues to get out there. It's still so new. But was that difficult for you to kind of put the cart before the horse?
You know, yes and no. It was really difficult until I figured out that 1 minute reels are my jam and that they require almost no thought in advance. And that I challenged myself, in fact, to put very little thought into them because more thought actually doesn't equal better. I have a friend who's a flow expert, and
it's fun.
She's really cool, and she's a great, you know, her content and her friendship are great reminders of how much, you know, efforting isn't really the goal. So I really try to approach my weekly Tuesday reels with a sense of, let's see what happens. You know, sometimes I record them a few times, but sometimes it's my first take. And I literally decide on what I'm going to talk about as I'm driving my kid, as I'm driving home, rather, from dropping off my kid that morning. Mm-hmm. And I always do them Tuesday morning around like 8:30 in the morning. And like finding that.
So good at 8:30 in the morning.
I slap a little. And as the ring light does wonders. But yeah, I mean, I do Tuesday morning is my morning that I'm like, you know, be a professional, go to work. It's my, I joke that it's my TV show, right? I mean, you know, right? This is what you do. This is what you do. But it's great to have your own TV show. I mean, you're the producer. Mm-hmm. So I'm the producer and I decide what the, you know, tone is.
Yeah.
And how, you know, rebellious it is and how sweary it is. And that's where the mischief comes in, right? Getting to show up in public like the version of myself that is the most mischievous, but also connects to my really hopes and dreams for our society of how all of us show up as leaders. I mean, this is really connected to the biggest ideas in the book, I think, that it breaks my heart how many of the problems in the world today tie back to bad leadership and how many of the people who are in charge are not people who have our best interest at heart. And I'm talking politically, but also, you know, corporate. And obviously there's exceptions. So I don't mean to be, you know,
not every,
but I had this aha that in certain ways, it is because some people, through virtue of the luck of being born and sounding a certain way, sound the part, sound like what we have historically thought leadership should sound like. Mm-hmm. And they get promoted and they get voted in. And for those of us who don't, how do we show up in a way that actually reflects the new kind of leadership we'd actually like to see more of in the world? So I don't know, that to me is like actually part of what the real is. It's like, I love popping in and giving a tip or you know, sharing what I'm thinking about that week, but also it is like modeling.
Hey guys, this is Allison Packard. Sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to let you know that if you like the show, please, please, please remember to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review on iTunes. It really helps us to get heard by more people. Thanks so much.
Would you ever consider running for office?
I guess I shouldn't say no, never, but I love the idea of supporting candidates. Mm-hmm. I think that's really where I'm best served because I am such a, I like to be my own boss. Mm.
Yeah. Big commitment.
And the being candidates that I've worked with have both delightfully, you know, shown up better, the sort of work we're doing, and felt all this pressure from their campaign managers to perform a certain style of leadership or to pull their punches when they talk about what they actually care about. And that kind of negotiating, I don't have a huge amount of patience for.
And you are a public servant.
Oh, thank you. No, but yeah, I mean,
one is.
I thought that was a compliment.
You're serving.
No, you're right.
Whether you're serving the people or whether you're serving the corporations or the companies that are in your jurisdiction, you know, I mean, you are of service.
Yes, there's other stakeholders that you have to actually please. Yeah, I know. I'd rather just be my own.
It's like Oprah, you know? You're kind of like Oprah.
I mean, I guess. I was wondering when somebody was going to make that connection. I had this.
When are you getting on Oprah?
Vision. A friend did this like visualization exercise with a bunch of us. So this just popped into my head. So I'm not taking any credit for it at all. But through whatever her prompts were, I had this vision of Oprah and me sitting in her wicker chairs in the sun-dappled situation, not even talking, laughing hysterically. Like there was tears on both of our cheeks and we like couldn't catch our breath. And then we were walking back down the path to whatever is off camera that's like the indoor space. And in my mind, she puts her arm around me and she whispers in my ear, "Do less."
What? Wow.
I mean, I don't know what to do with it except that's going to happen. Mm. And that, you know, look, if Oprah is talking to me through my visions, I'm in this really interesting phase right now with the book that it's out there. Mm-hmm. It's getting more and more attention. It's really interesting to see. I don't have a huge amount of control over how much attention beyond what I've already been doing, you know? And so there's an element of trusting that it will end up in the right hands, that it will spread, right? Thank you. And I think that's my interpretation of do less, because there is an element of muscling, to go back to our previous conversation, that I could do. But who else should I get it in the hands of? How do I make sure that I do, you know, that is joyless?
Yeah.
And that is not actually how any of the greatest things in my life have ever come about.
My little post-it over there says, momentum without effort. That's also my theme for the year. How do we just let the momentum build itself? You know, is it an energetic thing of just like physically releasing? It sounds like you and I mean, similar.
Yeah, but it's also stuff like this conversation, right? Like, I said yes to this theoretically because it's lovely to speak to your audience and to be able to say like, I don't know if you guys noticed, I have a book that you might like, you know, but also like.
Oh, it was upside down.
Fantastic. But the upside down version is like, it's like seeing the world upside down. It's like, what's your perspective?
So much in the code.
I didn't know you could read that way. That's so impressive.
I'm a voice actor.
Oh my God, you're so good. I don't remember what I was going to say, but yes.
Sorry.
It's totally fun. I feel like we got it. We got it. Oh, yeah, I know. Just that, yeah, that like, I mean, obviously the showing up and talking to you is not efforting, I think, is my point. That like, there is an element of momentum build.
Yeah.
That is just talking to the people that you like about your favorite subject. I almost swore. Yeah. I don't know if am I allowed to swear.
It's okay, yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's about my favorite fucking subject. and then trusting. It's showing up and then trusting, which I think is momentum plus without effort. Momentum minus effort. Showing up plus trusting.
I wanted to say juicy.
Trusting has been one of those words that's also like followed me my whole life. Mm. I think I am actually a really trusting person, but then I get in my head about like, but can I trust? Like, is anything going to happen unless I remind everybody six times? Maybe, yeah.
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 Oprah told me so, so.
Yes, you know. I love that. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Well, I'm going to help you manifest that. Come on. Especially the laughing hysterically. Mm. And like, just
oh my gosh. Your cheek. I just, right?
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Oh, Samara, I could talk to you all afternoon. This has just been so lovely.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And so now, obviously, you're super busy with the book as well, but are you still coaching, doing dialect coaching and speech coaching?
Or? I'm not officially not. Mm-hmm. So I'm still open and my agents send me stuff and every once in a while I do it. If it's a client I've already worked with who I love or if it's like a really cool project that's local. I mean, you know, part of a definition of power is getting to choose what we want to work on.
Yes.
Which, you know, I mean, having an acting background for me, it is deeply meaningful to be able to say no.
Yeah.
So I'm saying no a lot, but I'm also saying yes a bit. And I don't know, I'm really interested about in just the whole idea of kind of having a through line and not being over dramatic about like, I used to do that and now I do this.
Yeah.
Because they're actually more connected than people think.
And
you know?
Especially with this changing, like offering your services to people who are trying to move into power, whose ideas you align with, is very powerful. What could be more powerful?
What could be more powerful? Yeah, it's really nice. It's really, but also I'm LA based. So obviously, you know, the industry is right here and the studios are here. And
your mom?
I am. I will say the hours are certainly much better not working on set.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us. It's been lovely. And guys, you can get permission to speak probably anywhere. You can buy a book, an audiobook as well.
I've been told the audiobook is lovely. I was on a group text chain with some people I knew and some people I didn't know. And one of the people I didn't know was like, you guys, I've been listening to Samara's book, Permission to Speak, on audio. Whoever does the audiobook is amazing. And I was like, but you know, all of the stuff that we started talking about really mattered when I was doing the audiobook because you can't push on the mic.
Yeah.
Anything that feels well supported is fine, but then when it's well supported, it also sort of pushes you into this place of like speaking to a large room. And that's just
You almost have to listen. You're listening. You need space for the thoughts between the lines when you're doing a book. So you're also kind of listening to the idea of behind the words.
This is super true. And actually, I have a whole chapter on this, on how to sort of lift words off of a page and turn them into thoughts. Turn them into thoughts, right? And that I felt like I did the entire whatever amount of hours that I was recording that book. But the specific part that I have very little experience with because I don't do voice acting is just how intimate I could be with that microphone and how much it just isn't about pushing in any way.
Yeah.
It's truly just about showing up and then, honoring the thoughts.
Hopefully these mics are, these omnidirectional microphones are the great thing about a microphone that's pulling from one direction is you can be very intimate. I don't know. Mm. How intimate can we? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Can you?
Well, intimate doesn't also mean, it doesn't always mean quiet too.
No.
Right. It can just mean an authentic connection.
Fantastic.
You'll have to listen to the audiobook to tell me if I have an authentic connection.
I really wanted to, too. I wanted to be like doubling up.
Well, actually, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to your listeners, but you as well.
I need to listen to the audiobook. It's got to happen because
I'm available for feedback.
I love your voice.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
It reminds me when I listened to Michelle Obama's first book.
Yes.
Over many, many, many.
Good.
Well, She's a public figure. She's done a lot of voiced work. I mean, a lot of how to show up work.
Yeah. Very long book.
Very long book. But I did, I was dialect coaching on something that shot down in Manhattan Beach. Uh-huh. And I live on the east side of LA, which is just the longest drive. And it would often be during rush hour because that's, you know, when the show would need me. And I audio read so many books during that era. And it was actually the fall of 2018, right before I started thinking through writing a book. So all of them like had a role in a way in the thought process. Ah. But spending, I mean, this is why I bring up Michelle, spending that many hours with her on a road trip,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People who are telling me that that's what they're experiencing with me right now. I'm like, that's amazing.
I know my husband and I too. It took like over a year to get through that book. It would just be our road trip book.
It took me much less, but that's because it was like a lot of driving.
Thanks for having
anyway,
me.
You were so beautifully closing this up, and then I just
realized. Oh my gosh. I mean, I could talk to you all afternoon. It's like we just have so much to say. And so anybody, you know, they can go and find this book. It is in bookstores. Where do you prefer people buy it?
I have no preference. Mm-hmm. I prefer that people buy it and then tell their friends and then tell me how much it matters to you. No, tell me what's true. Tell me what's true after you read it.
Yeah, well, as they say, or I'm not exactly sure who they are, so I'll just be the one to say it. This is a movement. Yeah. This is a movement. And we are all here, you know, you're leading the way and we are all marching behind you.
We are all together
giving
leading
ourselves
the way.
Yeah.
Permission to speak. Thank you.
Wow. And thanks everybody for watching Allison's Wonderland. We, you know, like, subscribe, do the things because if you've made it this far, you might as well. Okay. And tell a friend, as Samara says, and tell me how much it means to you because, yeah, it's a labor of love.
Yeah. Our creative juju here is not nothing.
We're effusively giving it.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much. We'll see you soon. Thanks, Samara.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks for tuning in to Allison's Wonderland, where we explore the wild and wonderful world of animation and video games. Please remember to subscribe and leave us a review. For more episodes of Allison's Wonderland, please visit us at www.allisonpackard.com. See you next week.